Blog Talk Radio.
This is James Dick with North Florida Writer Live on a Thursday morning. It's a beautiful Thursday morning here in North Florida. The humidity's out of the air. It's cool. It's sunny. The sky is crystal clear blue. We don't get them much like this from this time of year up until October, but boy, we've got it today. It's only going to be in the 70s, and boy, it's a great day to be alive. And speaking of alive, there's Donald Trump, my friends. I know that brings a lot of cheers and jeers. But this morning we're going to talk about Republicans and election 2016. And what I'm saying about it is buckle up. It's going to be a long ride. And yes, it is. Well, folks, I've got my guest Mark Collier with me from the Carolina Mountains. He's probably really chilly up there. It probably went down to the 30s last night. Who knows? But anyway, yesterday I had to go to a big state highway meeting. They're trying to figure out how to pave over the rest of Florida. And some of us are not real happy with that, particularly if we live in rural areas. And it poured all the way down and all the way back. And then after I got home, soaked, the moon came out, the stars came out, the winds picked up, and the weather changed. So today's beautiful. I want to just go over the pictures real quick. First is the Trump train. You've probably seen that on Facebook or somewhere. Gets a lot of reactions from people. But that's what it is, folks. The Trump train is rolling along. And, of course, now that both Ted Cruz and Kasich have dropped out, what are the Republicans going to try next? Mark and I will talk about that in a minute. Then there's a picture of Trump and his wife. Sorry I got cut off. It was too big for the site, and I didn't have a chance to change it, because I put things together at the last minute on some of this. But kind of a different-looking crowd than what we've seen of recent. I'll leave it at that. And then there's Ted Cruz. And I want to say this. I want to congratulate Ted Cruz for making the decision. I know it was a tough one to get out of the action, to realize what was going on. Now, I'll tell you what about Ted. He made some mistakes, I think. I think he was much too difficult for our government-educated citizens to understand anymore. But he's a good man, and I think his heart's in the right place. And he's got a very, very promising future ahead. He's only in his mid-40s. So Ted Cruz isn't done. I hope he isn't, because I like him a lot. It was not an easy thing when I decided to go with Trump. But it's just a gut thing about where the country is, and we need something a lot more drastic than people talking about it. So we'll see. You know, I could be wrong. Anybody can be wrong. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. But we're going to see. And then there's the GOP elephant marching into Cleveland. That's going to be a long ride, and it's going to need the buckling up time, I think. And then there's Hillary. Character of Hillary. We'll talk about Hillary a little bit today. And remember, your vote counts, folks. It's very important. And lastly, instead of putting up my cross with the Bible and the flag, I just put up God Bless America on the flag. And I'll tell you what, folks, we need God's blessings. We need to do something different. obviously what we're doing is not working. And some of the things we're doing as a nation and some of our willingness to evolve into things that are the way it is, folks. You look at nature, other things you can tell. You just got to look at it. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that in detail, but that's why we need God, and we were founded under God. Let's bring it back, folks. Let's bring it back. Now, to bring my friend Mark on, I'm going to play a little short tune. And no, it's not Hail to the Chief, but it's what I think we all want to see in America, regardless of where we stand right now. It's not a very long one. It's a theme song from an old comedy. But I'm going to put that on, and as soon as we're done in a minute or so, Mark will join me. So here we go.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
Sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Seems so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Okay, folks, I've got Mark here with me, and before I welcome him, I just want to say a couple of quick things. First of all, Tuesday night was a huge win for Trump. He carried Indiana very handily, a state that just a few weeks ago he was supposed to get whipped pretty soundly in. I mean, really, think about it. You had Wisconsin that went easily for Cruz, and Indiana is more conservative than Wisconsin by far, even though, of course, Governor Walker did a lot of things that made conservatives happy. But look at Indiana. Trump won it handily, and I think Cruz just saw the tea leaves. So what the issue is now, though, is since Kasich is out, of course, Cruz graciously left, or I don't know if you'd say graciously, but he was very reasonable and temperate, except he knocked his wife in the head with his elbow. I don't quite understand that, but that's another story. Anyway, here we are, and so what's going to happen right away is, are the dirty tricks going to come out somewhere? Do you trust the establishment? I don't. Mark, what do you think?
Well, good morning, Jim. I'll allow you a few moments to gloat. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. All right. Now, you gloated.
Well, you're gloating too. What are you talking
dirty
about?
Dirty tricks. let's talk about some dirty tricks, because here's the thing that I've been reading in this. You know, Stephen Smith, he used to be the campaign manager for John McCain. He was one of the guys that
Schmidt.
You know,
Schmidt.
He's an establishment guy.
Schmidt.
He didn't care. Steve Smith, that's right. Steve Smith. This guy didn't like Sarah Palin in the least. Now, I just think it's kind of funny that all of a sudden he pops up and, well, this is not the real Republican Party. This is not this. This is not that. It's just very interesting that with the slights that he had aimed and limited involvement that he gave for Sarah Palin in 2008, Sarah Palin comes out, endorses Donald Trump, and all of a sudden all hell starts to break loose. I just think it's funny. So what or ironic, not necessarily humorous, but I think it's interesting that now all of these beltway types are cornered. They're like little rats in cages. They don't know what to do. This Trump tsunami, you know, the relentless train moving along the tracks, picking up speed, I might add, is just starting to crush these people. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And Trump gave them an opportunity. You either get on board or you can wait 8 years. I just thought that was pretty funny. So as far as I can see it, 30 tricks, I don't know that they have any left that'll work. To be honest with you, Trump and his advisors and these guys know that somebody's trying to play games, they're going to have a finger pointed at them, and they'll probably scurry into the darkness. Those rats don't like, you know, too much sunshine. But I think it's marvelous in the sense that the entire GOP establishment has been remade. It's almost as if you're remodeling your house. You know, Trump being, you can make the analogy of being in construction and development and that kind of thing. You know, sure, he's going to take an old building, he's going to clean it up, and we're going to do it this way. I think that's a lot of what he's doing to the party. And these folks are either going to have to adapt, adjust, and overcome, or go away. Now, this threat about working with Hillary Clinton and all that, I don't think there are that many Benedict Arnolds out there in that party. I really don't. But I know that this kind of change, particularly when he's talking about NATO and, you know, how we're going to put America first for a change, and, you know, whether it's trade, military muscle, modernization. And he specifically referred to these flyovers by these Russians that said, you know, very common, at some point, when do you shoot? Well, that just so summarizes the way he is. It's amazing. Let me also say something about Ted Cruz. I originally was a supporter of Ted Cruz. I sent him some money, not much. But where he lost me was how he did Ben Carson in Iowa. I really wondered about that, because that's not the way Republicans normally do it. And had he not tried those dirty tricks with Ben, you know, I think he would have been more loved. Yes, do I think he's a bright guy? Sure. But I you have to wonder how smart he is. Now, there's a difference between bright and smart. And I think he misplayed his cards. He misunderstood the mood of the electorate. He didn't understand what's going on in Indiana. Trump, of the 9 districts, won 7 of them by huge margins. Now, I was looking at these numbers, right, and you can interrupt me if you want, but that evening, with 86-93% in, according to Real Clear Politics, he was beating him in 6 of the 9 by 25 to 35 points. All right. The one area where he...
Well, he only gave up like about 4 counties. It wasn't much. He didn't give up many counties.
Right. Well, there was District 3, which is that ring, northern semicircular ring around Marion County, which is Indianapolis proper.
Yeah.
Is Fishers, Zionsville, Carmel, up in there, Noblesville, all that little area there. That was pretty close. That was only, it was under 1,000 votes. But everywhere else, he mopped up. And what I found interesting about that was that, yes, the folks there are saying enough. And so I'm very proud of my Hoosiers, in the Sycamore State, which is, I think, an even better description of Hoosiers, but that's okay. I've always felt that they were very down-to-earth, very real. They'll tell you, if asked, what's going on. They're not going to venture too much. But Trump just opened up the can of worms and said, talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
Well,
so he got a hold of this carrier closing and just ripped them a new one. Anyway, go ahead.
Now, let me take it away a little bit differently here. I think the big problem that Cruz had, and I think that the Cruz supporters had, and I basically share a lot of what they feel. Like I say, there's a lot about Cruz I like, but I think where everybody is missing up, and I think both parties are missing up, this election is not about ideology, and that's what Cruz made it. This election is about, I'm going hungry, I've lost my job, I got people that are illegal taking our jobs, this, that, and the other, and I want it changed. So here comes Trump, and he puts it in very simple language. Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to build a huge wall. Now, I don't care who you are, but if you're Joe Blue Collar and you just got off work in the one factory that's still open, but it's being threatened with closure in a small, in a city in Indiana, and you walk into the bar in the afternoon to have a cold one before you go home, and that's on the TV, what do you think you're going to think? I mean, and this is all over the country like this, and it's not just blue collar. It's everybody that feels threatened by what's going on. I mean, you turn on the TV and you see ISIS, or you see Europe in shambles, all doing the same things that the American government is supporting now. You know, we don't have a border. The military's got their hands tied behind the back. Hell, we even lost a Navy SEAL in a supposed non-combat zone because he was in combat. Now, explain to me how the Pentagon justifies that. So all this stuff going on, and the average guy is sitting here saying, you know, this none of this stuff makes any sense, and this guy's talking about Thomas Jefferson. And I love Thomas Jefferson. As you know, I'm a Virginian. But, I mean, really, folks, that's what it is, because the bottom line anytime is your pocketbook. That's the bottom line in every election, no matter what else enters into it. But all of these other things tie right into that. The immigration fiasco ties into it. The open borders for illegals without even knowing who they are coming from the Middle East, that ties into it. It all ties into it because we're spending more money on that stuff than we're spending on the people that grew up here and are Americans, or they've been naturalized the right way and became citizens. And we're spending more money on these other people. You know, they're talking about Social Security going down the tubes, but yet, you know, we're gonna cut Social Security, but boy, we're going to pay $17,000 a kid. We talked about this the other day a little bit. So the point is, he put it in the language that the average American citizen could understand. Now, I could do without some of the other stuff he threw in there, but Trump's whole deal was, he's the outsider. They said he didn't have a chance. He was way behind. He could go nowhere. So he says, I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at him, and let's see what happens. And what happened in the final analysis was, at the very, very end, when it was already over, Cruz lost his cool publicly. And Cruz doesn't usually do that. He lost his cool publicly. I mean, when Trump loses his cool, everybody kind of expects that out of him. Now, I think you're going to see a mellowing of Donald Trump in sense of dealing with the American people coming up, but I don't think you're going to see it mellowing when it comes to dealing with Hillary, and we'll talk about that the next segment here in a minute. But the whole thing is, that's what happened. People started realizing, this guy's talking about it. Hell, we've been hearing him talk about it for 30 years. We're tired of the talk. Who's going to do something? Now, having said that, if Trump takes office, and the pundits who are saying this, he doesn't end up doing anything, he'll be a 30-day wonder as far as any authority in the White House, because he knows he's got to do something. I don't think Trump is what these people say he is. Oh, yeah, he's no heavy-duty conservative. I understand that, but I do believe he's an American, and I do believe that he wants America to do well and prosper, because when America prospers, he prospers and his family prospers. Makes all the sense in the world, unless you've got all your money in a foreign bank, you know, in Switzerland or something, or the Cayman Islands. So here's the thing. That's what happened, and it finally came to a crescendo the other night. And Cruz was smart enough finally to realize, you know, if I drag this thing any further, my future is over, and that would be a real shame to America. I'm going to tell you that, folks. I mean, I got criticized right and left, and I went out right after the election, I mean, after the primary, and I started putting up on face, okay, and now it's time to heal. So, Donald, humble yourself a little bit. Say something nice about Cruz. Get these people back in the fold and let them participate. That's what he's got to do, and I think he understands that. You know, I think that's what he understands. So, now, there are some people that won't. I listen to this Eric Erickson guy, and he really upsets me because he keeps calling himself a conservative, and then he comes out with stuff that drives me up the wall, and I'm seeing all these people quoting him everywhere. I don't trust anything he says, because I don't think in the beginning he was against Cruz too. He's been all over the place playing for whoever will put him on TV. I think he's a hack. That's just my opinion. A lot of people like him. I used to like him, but I started seeing stuff that really annoyed me. So I just think people need to sit down and think, and before we take a break, and then I'm going to put you on with something different right when we come back. I want to ask this. Hillary has already said she's going to eliminate the Second Amendment one way or the other. Okay? She said she's going to do that. She's open arms to bringing all these people more and more in. She's not going to do anything about the border that hasn't been done, which is absolutely nothing. This is what's going to happen. She's going to be the third term of Barack Obama, maybe worse. I don't know. We know that's going to happen. Now, if all these people think that Trump is going to be just as bad as Hillary, well, then good luck, fellas, because it's all over with. We're done. That's what I'm
telling
you. Well,
Jim, before,
and if Trump is as bad as Hillary, we're done too. Yes, go ahead.
Before we go to break, may I just go ahead and say I found a little Breitbart article. I don't know if you saw this.
Okay.
And it's an exclusive. Breitbart's journalist went to, I guess, talk to Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico.
Yes.
And he's
yes.
sitting there in a chair. I don't know if you saw that. Exclusive.
Yep.
President Fox apologizes, invites Trump to Mexico. I think they are so scared, you know. Trump then called on Fox to apologize on Wednesday. Fox did so, an exclusive interview with Breitbart News. He wanted Trump to come to Mexico to see the border from the other side. I quote unquote, I apologize. You have to love thy neighbor. Okay, so I was thinking, wait a minute. What does that mean? These folks are scared to death of Trump already. They know that this thing is going to roll over them, you know, like one of these sandstorms in the desert. It's just going to wipe them out. He's looking for a way that we can work together about trade and other issues, he explained. Okay, all right. I mean, he even threw in the towel. So I think what you're trying to say here is that the establishment and the way we're doing things is not working. It's also being reflected in a smaller way with this insurgency in the Democrat Party with Bernie, and you and I have talked about some of that over time and some other shows. But everybody's starting to come to the realization this is not going to work right. And I just don't think, in my heart, Hillary's got what it takes to get the job done. So we are now left with one last choice. And there you have it. So, at any rate, that's my last
two cents
on that topic.
Hillary doesn't think what we want to be done is the job. That's the problem, because she's another ideologue. See, Trump's not an ideologue. You know, that's why they get all upset, the conservatives and the liberals, because he's not. He's a pragmatist. But you know what? Right now, we need some pragmatism. That's the best thing to eliminate political correctness that we could have, is facing the truth of what's actually on the ground in America today and doing something about it. And if Trump does that, he's going to do great. If the pundits, and I don't trust anything they ever say because they've been wrong forever, but if they're right with what they're saying, then we're going to be screwed either way. So what difference does it make? But anyway, let's do this. What I want to do, just before I go, I want to make one other comment, because everybody's been so upset about Trump and his lingo and this, that, and the other. But let me tell you something about the good old establishment. The Steve Schmitz of the world, he used all kinds of nasty words to describe Sarah Palin. This Rick Wilson character, he's up there now too, and he's all over the place on social media. And he's one of their guys, because they put him on TV. He throws the F-bomb around at Laura Ingraham and anybody that doesn't agree with his version of conservatism, which is not conservatism. There is nothing conservative about the establishment. You know, Mitch McConnell's up there frowning and saying, well, Trump needs to come around. No, you need to come around, Mitch. What you need to do is come around, turn around, and go on back to Kentucky and let somebody that's really going to do something in your job, pal. The guy is 76 years old. Come on.
Well, you know, I don't even know that
anyway,
he can drive his own car and get a driver's license in Kentucky anymore.
Hasn't needed
but
to.
They believe,
hasn't
and
needed
this,
to,
is,
yeah.
this is what really astonished me. The quote is from this guy, Schmidt, and I'm sure there are a bunch of other guys out there. He characterized talk show radio as a form of cancer that has spread and infected the whole of the Republican Party. Wait a minute.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
I heard it. I saw that. Yeah, really? Are you kidding? I thought you started
actually a wellspring of Democratic thought. People are actually waking up. You know, and I don't know. These guys may not. They may need to be swept out to the curb. Period. Get rid of all of them. Start over again. Trump can attract talent and forward-thinking people who might want to actually make a difference. So, all right, that's it on that.
Okay.
We'll go from there.
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do, Mark. We're going to take a quick break. It's going to be. I'm going to put on a little short music, and because I think. I just think it's a good time to do that. And we're going to dedicate a song to Hillary, because when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the fall campaign, Trump versus Hillary. I think it'll be interesting, because all these people are saying that, oh, Hillary, you know, will kill him. Oh, really? Anyway, it's going to be interesting. But anyway, so I couldn't, you know, I think I've used this before, but I'm sorry if I have for this sort of thing, but I can't think of anything more appropriate to play for Hillary than a song for her husband. So, here's Elvis.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, to cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time.
That was the King, Elvis Presley. And before we talk about the upcoming campaign a little bit and how it's going to be handled, I just wanted to comment on something about the kind of issue that Hillary's got to deal with. And she always gets covered for it by the media. They never really put her on the spot. But, you know, she was out in West Virginia, and she was talking to a bunch of coal miners, soon-to-be ex-coal miners, and she was talking about how, oh, you know, that shouldn't happen, and, you know, we're going to take care of you and this, that, and the other. And there was a deal on, I think it was on Breitbart this morning, I can't remember which site, because I look at all of them, and it was one of the coal miners was being interviewed, and he says, she lied. And I said, oh, my gosh, here we go. So, Mark, here we go. It's campaign time, and they're squared off in a debate, okay? And Hillary is talking about how vile Trump's behavior is, okay? And then Trump turns around and says something about, well, Hillary, why did you lie to those miners all those times? Why did you do that? I mean, and she's going to try to, oh, I did that. No, Hillary, really, just answer the question, will you? I mean, I can see it. And can you imagine, here's Trump. You can see his facial expressions while she's talking. You know the way he does. Rolls his eyes and he kind of scrunches up his face like or looks at the camera like what's going on here with this lady. And she's screeching over there on the other side. I mean, if he could get a calm, cool, collected guy like Ted, get under his skin. You know, Hillary gets riled up real easy. It seems to me like he's just going to wind her up. What do you think?
She's going to be a little frustrated. Let me go back and set this up a little differently, because you just went to the chase. All right. Here's the background on that. Not everybody is all that excited about Hillary Clinton, even in the Democrat Party. You can see it in the Bernie Sanders people. We don't really care for her. We're not going to get that motivated to come out. I think huge swaths of what she thinks is her base and her core support is going to be somewhat neutral. You know, African Americans can see, hey, you know, we got to get to work. You know, Hispanics as general, you know, whether they're from Cuba or Mexico or wherever, you know, they're going to say, well, wait a minute, maybe we do need to help, you know, our folks make some more money. So that's sort of an underlying philosophy here. I think he goes in for the kill, and I think this is the way he does it, because he's smarter than most. And I was thinking about this last night. All he has to do is, well, what did you do with that $100,000 I gave you, your Clinton Foundation, for Haitian relief? How's she going to answer that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if, and I've heard this from a couple of other people who do donate large amounts of money to this, 6% went to the Haitians. 94% was tied up. Now, this is $94,000 out of a $100,000 contribution went to, you know, the global initiative expenses, travel, you know, all kinds of personal sorts of things that benefit
the
Clintons.
The slush fund.
So here we have something that is marginally legal, right, for tax purposes. And meanwhile, it's just basically you're right, it's a big, huge receptacle of money that just funnels it into the Clinton, you know, activities one way or another. Now, I think that once people start to say, well, wait a minute, you know, I spent $100 into that, so you're telling me only $6 went to help the people that it was intended to help? I think people are going to get pretty upset. That's just one thing. You're right about the coal miners. You're right about the Benghazi thing. You know that's going to come up and blow up in her face. Meanwhile,
the computer.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I think the FBI is not, and this is just me, these guys have to maintain at least the aura of neutrality. Some kind of report's going to come out on that server, those emails. I don't know that she's going to go to jail, because there is some immunity based on the way government people work, you know, to allow them to do their job. But I think that that's going to be a messy, nasty thing. I think sooner or later.
Can I correct you on one thing, Mark? Wait a minute.
All right,
I got to correct you on one thing. If you're dealing with top secret material on a private computer, there is no immunity for that anywhere. There isn't. You can't have top secret material on your private computer at home. You can't do that. That's where she's really gotten in trouble, is the at home, because it's not anything governmental. It's on her own computer. You can't do that. A general can't do that. Nobody can do that. And she's got at least 22. There's at least 22 items that were top secret or higher. Some are top secret cryptographic. And that's, you know, that's World War III kind of stuff. So I'm just telling you, they say all kinds of stuff, but no, that's not allowable. You know, it's the same thing. Of course, if you don't prosecute, and that's the problem the FBI has. I think they're going to present a report to the Justice Department that justifies, you know, indictment. But I don't think that Loretta Lynch is going to indict her, because Obama doesn't want her indicted. That's what I think. And who knows
right.
what that means later on. But the point is, that's a serious, serious offense. And everybody takes it lightly. You know, if it's just like everything else. A Republican guy goes out and has an affair. I know any of the agents that are there that are really doing what they're supposed to do, I don't think they're going to take that well. So I don't know. But it's still going to be out there. It's still floating around. It's not resolved, and it leaves lots of questions. And she's never answered any of them. She's never answered anything about anything. You know, she's vague about everything she talks about. Of course, some of it may be absolutely accurate because I think she's got some issues. You know, you remember she had all those fainting spells and she's got that cough. I mean, she's got a personal physician that travels with her everywhere she goes. Something's not right there. Something's not right. We don't know what it is. Maybe I'll never know. But, you know, and then the other side of the coin is Billy Bob really going to do a whole lot to help her? Because right in the middle of some of these things, he tends to kind of take the other guy's side.
Jim? Jim? Jim?